flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, we are back. Hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here for you. Anything you got going on, anything you need today. We've been talking a lot on resolutions. What are you going to do to your home next year? We've had a few good calls on different maintenance issues in the first hour and want to just keep that going for everybody. So feel free to give me a shout here. Anything you need, I'm here for you. We've got a whole nother hour left. 314-436-7900 gets you right into me. Phone lines are wide open, and we've been kind of going over a lot of different just projects that you can jump into for your home, projects to consider, kind of the New Year's resolution for the next year. We were talking about going green and how that could be a difficult one to obtain, but there's also some easier things that can be performed, projects that can be performed, simple tasks that can help with going green slightly. And some of those are maybe as simple as installing a low flow shower head, checking all your plumbing for leaks, making sure there isn't any leaks there, that you're not dripping water from your hot water heater and it's just rolling over to the floor drain. And if you haven't been downstairs in 6 months to look at it, you don't know that that's been happening for 6 months. So looking around, seeing what's going on, but doing some simple things like a lower flow toilet, a toilet with multi-flush functions that uses less water for just water waste is a good, easy thing to do. And if more of us did this, it's not going to help a lot if only I do it. But if a lot of people do some of these simple tasks in their home, it's going to start to amount. If everyone did it, it would be a great, great, huge feature to help with everything in the future as far as water producing and consumption and everything that needs to happen. And we need to try and get everybody involved, so it doesn't always have to be getting solar panels in this giant project. It can be simple things to help out in simple ways that aren't real hard or expensive, or a lot of little DIY things that could help out with that. So I think it's a great thing to consider for everybody for the new year. So we've got Sharon on the line, just called in. Let's jump to Sharon and see what's happening. Sharon, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Thanks for calling. Oh, what's going on?
Thank you. My front concrete step going into the front door, it looks, the concrete is flaking off of the top. I don't know if it's from salt and snow. Do I need a new step, or is there something I can put on top of that to make it smooth again? It's kind of, it doesn't look very good.
Yeah, yeah. So basically the top layer is coming off and you can kind of see some rock and some aggregate rough underneath there.
Yes, that, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep, and that is a difficult spot, but you don't necessarily have to do an entire new step. There's a few different things that you can try, and it really, the simplest is, as you go, you're going to get longer lasting value out of what you do as you increase how you perform it. The simplest thing to do is really clean it up, get all the dust out, get everything cleaned up well, and just do a cement patch, like a hydraulic cement patch. Get some cement that has some kind of gluing additives in it, like a what they call a hydraulic cement. It's not going to, the concrete color is not going to match. It could be a little bit of an eyesore, but it'll create a flat surface, and it will eventually break back out of there as water, as moisture gets in there, and it may start to break out in other areas also. So that's kind of the simplest, easiest DIY thing that will get it smooth for now. And there's no answer on, it could break out the following winter and only last 1 year. It could last 4 or 5 years and you're just like, wow, it's really working well. The kind of the next level of fix would be a concrete coating over the whole area, the whole step. They can put something over it. They can do like a patch over it that's an epoxy. It's kind of an epoxy fiber patch that they put on there. They use it over cracks and stuff in foundations to kind of hold them and hold them together. So they can put something like that over it and then do a whole coating of some sort on top of that, and that's gonna last longer because you kind of covered everything up and started with something fresh again. That would more involve like a concrete coating company that would do a coating over top of everything. So that's kind of the medium fix. Could last 5-10 years or even possibly longer if done really well. And then, of course, the third is exactly what you're thinking. Break it out completely. Pour a whole new concrete step with a concrete company. And that's going to be the longest lasting value. I would definitely recommend if you do a new step or if you even just do the hydraulic cement kind of patch, I would seal that concrete. Put a concrete sealer on there to kind of try and keep more water and moisture from getting in and hold more of that out, and that'll lengthen the life expectancy. It won't correct it 100%, but it can lengthen that life expectancy of when it starts happening again.
So if I would get a new concrete step, do I have to wait for spring for that because it's cold outside? And the same thing with the concrete coating. If I have a concrete coating company come, can they do that in the winter, or do we have to wait till it's warmer?
Well, they'll be looking for a warmer part of winter to get it done in. I mean, like right now, it's totally warm enough, and it's going to be warm here the next few days. They're talking about the temperature really getting warm. So if you can do it in the winter, and most times they're just looking for that little warm spot where they say, oh, it's going to be warm this week, can we come do it Tuesday or whatever? And then they can do it and it can work and be fine. But waiting till spring just would probably be better, as far as that way you don't have to wait around or try and find that warmer weather to get it done. especially on something small like that. So
yeah.
I would say wait till spring, just
okay.
because if you're going to replace it.
Alrighty. Thank you so much for all your help.
Absolutely. No problem. I appreciate the call. And yeah, hopefully, because there's always a lot of different kind of projects to consider. And it's really, what are you trying to get out of it? And how long are you trying to have it last for you? How long you plan on staying in the house kind of determines what you pick and how to do it. So some things are simple and they may not last a real, real long time, but it's a good, easy, quick DIY thing to do. So you just keep up with it that way. So we're going to get into our first break here. Rick, if you could hold the line through this quick break for you, I'd appreciate it. And we'll get back to more and Rick and other calls right after this. Don't forget, you can find me at 314-436-7900. More after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, everybody. Rich Orris here to help you out today. Home Improvement Show. You can find me at 314-436-7900. Anything you got going on, anything you need. A lot of great calls and questions coming in. We've got Rick on the line. Let's jump straight to Rick and see what's happening with you there. Are you there, Rick?
I am here.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for your show. Good afternoon. I have a question that's somewhat related to your prior caller. My garage over time has some of the areas where water drips on it from the car, it gets frozen in the winter, and so over time we've got some deterioration there, a little pitting and actually some real erosion in one spot. Just curious whether or not there's anything that we might do to level that back up and get it similar to the rest of the floor.
Yeah, so I would say you're basically in the exact same situation that Sharon was in, just on a lot larger scale because of the whole garage floor. If it is a small area in it where the car drips and that, and it's not a lot of it, I would say you're probably back at the same kind of clean it up hydraulic kind of cement patch in that area. The garage floors are usually a little bit darker because of the way they're finished, so the patch will be darker. It'll be a lot closer to the color of the concrete, possibly. And then sealing in a garage floor can be done to try and help prevent that. But the way they're finished with that slick trowel, it takes a different type of sealer. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, because there's different types of sealers for different areas. Some are just go on top and some actually go into the pores and everything, but the pores are a lot tighter and sealer doesn't get into that floor as well in a concrete garage floor because of the way it's finished. So you could consider sealing it, but you got to find out from a professional exactly what's the best product to try and seal it with to prevent that from happening too much more. But that's probably the direction I would go there, because a whole new garage floor is a lot of concrete.
Yeah, well, it's a spot that's probably, 2 by 3 feet, something like that, over time, maybe 2 by 2 feet.
Uh-huh.
And we're thinking about getting the whole floor epoxied anyhow.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to get it patched and get ready for whenever we make the decision to put down some broad epoxy on it.
Yeah, that epoxy would be great. It'll help with getting the blemish gone and matching the color all the way across everything, and that epoxy will help kind of keep that water on the surface too. So yeah, the epoxy floor would be a great thing to do on that garage floor.
Great. Hey, well, thanks very much, appreciate it.
All right, yeah, thank you, Rick, thanks for calling. Great question. And that epoxy is a good thing to do on your garage floors for that reason, to keep help everything out of it, the discoloration, just keep it looking nice. They also make like the garage floor kind of flooring, like panels, square panels that lock together that you can put together and cover that whole floor with. It's kind of the diamond pattern, black, hard rubber floor. That those are really nice too. The only thing I would probably recommend with those is you might want to kind of peel those back, take them apart and clean up that garage floor and put them back together every now and again, just because of all the debris and the oils and the things that can get in between the two. A little bit of maintenance there, where once that epoxy's on, you're just cleaning that floor from the top. So definitely good thing to do either way, and just really makes things look nicer and cleaner and better for you. And I think that's also the type of task that gets you a good kind of return on your investment resale. When people go house shopping, one of the things they're looking at is maintenance, cleanliness. How does it look? Does it look like there's a lot of repairs that are needed or not? Everybody's got their eye on that. So having that floor look good is a great thing to do to make everybody comfortable and kind of like what they're looking at. And so that's definitely a good thing for you. So I did have another story that I kind of came across. I saw and spoke a little bit about a few years ago and haven't really heard or seen anything with it since, and saw a story on the news yesterday about a house getting demolished out in St. Charles. And it's the second one to get demolished in this neighborhood because of the houses. There's some houses built on a hill, on a hillside, a slope that's failing. And so they had a whole big thing about 4 years ago. And I think they demolished the first house in 2021. And it's in the Heritage subdivision in St. Charles County. And it's they kind of first started talking about stormwater runoff troubles that might be causing this. And since then, they've looked more into it. And originally, they were kind of saying, and this is kind of goes into those codes and how we do things and why we change things too, because the way they did the stormwater runoff and everything before, and these houses were built in the 70s, they basically came out and was saying, well, we wouldn't have done that this way today. There's better ways that they understand it more. So they've changed, and it wouldn't have been allowed to build the subdivision the way it was built with the water runoff and how many sewers they have. And just the whole development of the actual subdivision would have been different, which is kind of back to even going back into that roofing question about, boy, when they made these turbines in the 70s, they probably had some really good quality and really did tried to make them well because they knew they'd be there and they wanted them to last. And today they just don't make as many or use as many because of the ridge vents. So there's things change like that. And of course, this how we do the water runoff, everything they think about has changed. So the first house got tore down in 2021, and now there's a second home that they're tearing down right now on this hill. And I'm watching this story and I'm thinking, wow, you know, imagine being right there. Imagine owning one of these houses for years and years. Some of these homeowners might have been there for, they could have been there 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, these were built in the 70s, and you want and expect your home to last and you maintain it. But now looking into it, they got some money from the state, they got some money from the county, and they kind of had someone come out and really try and address the first thing is what's really happening and how can we really fix it. So they hired a consultant to try and figure this out, And they kind of came up with the first theory about the water runoff. Really, it's more, it's not that, it's more just the slopes failing due to weakened soil and erosion and all of that. So all these neighbors are seeing some signs of cracking in their foundations and their retaining walls, big cracks in the ground. So the county then tries to, they tried to put out to bid, how do we fix this to help this and keep these people in their homes? And at first they really didn't even receive any bids. It was kind of sounded crazy, but then they did it again. And they got six companies to come out and respond and quote it. And it's amazing. And I have people ask me all the time about simple projects or that seem simple to us anyways. Like I got quotes on a driveway and one's 10,000 and one's 20,000 and one's 30,000. How in the world could one cost three times the other? Well, these six companies looking at fixing the slope on this hill and how to keep these houses there, they ranged in pricing from $855,000 to $5.4 million. So, yeah, almost six times one to the other. You really have to look at what are they doing to try and stop this. And to me, another kind of interesting part of the story for me was they came up with some funds to try and help these homeowners. And they basically, I guess they gave it to the HOA and said, here, let the HOA figure out how to disperse these funds with these homeowners that are involved or around this issue. And then, so they gave them $144,000. And I'm like, what does that do? If that, I mean, that would barely help the two houses that got tore down. I'm at a little bit of a lapse on what they were, what good that amount was going to do to help these homeowners out. And they need this giant project to be figured out and fixed. So a couple of the companies are really kind of still saying that, you know, they pretty much really need to figure this out some more of what's happening and not just keep throwing money at a problem that's really not fixing it. And I see this happening too often on a minor scale, much smaller scale than this, with homeowners trying to fix leaks. And they're like, well, the first person was $200 and he caulked it, and the second person was $800 and he did this or that, or the next person was $1,200 and they replaced the window, but now the window's 2 years old and it's leaking again. And because they never really got deep enough into the problem to correct what's happening and understand and know all of what's happening, we just think we'll just replace this window, and if the old one's leaking, putting in a new one should always fix that, and it doesn't. And so kind of like this story is a much larger scale than a simple window fix, but when you think about it, you could end up paying three different times and then pay three times the cost to get it fixed finally for the last time. So doing a lot of investigation is a great thing. Listening, asking open-ended questions, and really trying to find out and figure out what the true cause is before you just jump into these quick, easy fixes and cross your fingers, hope for the best. They're just little Band-Aids that don't last very long. And so this is just an example of a larger scale of that. So we're going to jump into our middle hour break here. But, hey, I'm here for you guys. Anything you need, anything you got, 314-436-7900 finds me right here. After the break, I'll have plenty more for you. Hopefully we'll get some more calls.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
P71 FM Talk, St. Louis's home for conservative talk. Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, we are back. Home Improvement Show. We've got Susan on the line here. Let's get right to her call and see what's going on. Susan, are you there?
I am.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. We just built a house and moved in July. Last August, we had the concrete poured for flooring in a garage / barn and then our home. And we have noticed 3 months later, the concrete started cracking. Is there anything we can do? I know they probably don't warranty the concrete.
Yeah.
How do we stop it from cracking?
Well, there's no way to stop concrete from cracking. Are they like fine hair cracks that you're seeing? They're getting a little bigger.
Our carport has a crack, and it's getting bigger from the seam out to the end of the carport out toward the driveway, and then our garage / barn has got a big crack under our camper, where our camper is stored, and it's getting longer, and it looks like it's getting a little wider.
Okay. And the real trick is trying to figure out why it's cracking, as far as making sure that it's not something that they poured the concrete incorrectly, and really not just pouring the concrete, but how often they put control and expansion joints in concrete is really what tries its best to control where it cracks and how often it cracks and keeping it from cracking. If you just pour one big giant slab of concrete, it will shrink, it will move, and it will crack. So if they didn't put enough expansion joints, control joints, places where it should crack, so some of these cracks, like in the garage floor, could be there on purpose. And the big question would be, are any of the cracks like really straight, where it's almost like it's creating a T in the floor, or it's rigid, but it's just kind of like in a straight line?
There's two of them that look like it could be in a straight line.
Yeah. And so when they're kind of diagonal across an area, that's just a concrete crack that can happen. When they're straight and it's on a garage floor, a lot of times that crack is intentional, and they purposely put a strip of like plastic inside that floor to make it crack there. And it's called a control joint. It's done a little bit differently than a driveway, because in a driveway you can see where the control joints are. On a garage floor, you don't really see where they are until the crack happens. And those cracks are fine, and they don't hurt anything, and they're intentional. So some of them could be intentional, and then some of them could not be intentional, and there's just really nothing that you can do about it. The main thing to watch for with these cracks is, do they ever get a height difference from one level of concrete to the other. So as you run your foot across the crack, is part of the concrete sinking where you're starting to hit a lip? That's when you know it could be a problem. If it stays level and you can slide your foot across it and it's just a crack, it's perfectly fine. It won't hurt anything, and it doesn't really matter other than the aesthetics of it.
Okay.
So.
All right.
10-inch walls.
All right.
10-inch walls.
What's that?
10-inch walls.
10-inch concrete walls?
We have several cracks in our walls.
Uh-huh.
In the basement. And yeah, they're straight up and down.
Yeah, so that's pretty common too, especially if they're straight up and down. So on a foundation wall, what you really want to watch for in those fine hair cracks is if they're straight up and down, it's pretty normal to happen. It's not like the foundation's failing or anything. Off of the corners of windows that are cut through the concrete, it's very common for it to happen there.
Okay, it happened there.
And yeah.
We got one little jog. It's like 2x, you know, it's a 2x, and the rest of it's four-cornered, and it's near those two.
Yeah. So a lot of those cracks are very common, too. On the foundation, what you really want to watch for is how that crack opens up. So if that crack stays kind of tight and fine-haired crack at the bottom, and then at the top, towards the top of the foundation, it starts to widen and open up wider, then that could indicate settling, where a part of the foundation settling, and that's when I'd say get a foundation company out there to kind of look at the cracks and monitor how they're opening up and determine if there's any peering or anything needed.
Okay, but, all right, we're doing okay then, right there then.
Yep, but most of those cracks are pretty common, and really all you ever do to them is have them epoxy injected on the foundation wall.
Yeah.
Just to keep water out, just keep water and moisture out of the basement, especially if you ever consider finishing any of it.
Yeah, I've just seen older basements with less cracks than what this brand new one has. So,
yeah, it's common with concrete for sure. Anything's necessarily wrong.
It's just because you're using more action concrete now this is happening.
The mixes aren't as great as they used to be. The rock isn't always as great as it used to be. There is different limestone rock that some of it's state approved, some of it's not. So the stuff that's not has more fine dust in it and on the rock, and you can get more issues happening with the limestone that's not state approved. They used to use different, more Merrimack gravels and rock like that, and now it's pretty much all limestone, because unless you're getting an exposed aggregate type of project where you see the rock, they're all using limestone because it's next to the only thing really available or that people can afford.
Gotcha. So, I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
No, you're very, very welcome. Great question and great concern. For now, I would say it's just something keep your eye on. Just keep watching it.
Pretty much.
And see what happens with it and check for the things I said, and you should be fine. And then if things start changing, call me back and let me know. We can discuss more some of the next steps. So, and hey, for everybody else out there, we're going to get into our final break. We'll have one segment left here. So if you have something you want to get in, go ahead, jump in. We'll have plenty of time for you. 314-436-7900. We'll get you into that segment. So don't touch that dial. More right after the break.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, here we go. Last segment, and got some great stuff for you. If you want to try and call in real quick, if you got a question, feel free, 314-436-7900. I do have another example, kind of like one of these exaggerated examples of common questions, common occurrences in home remodeling, in home repairs, and what we do here on a much smaller scale, but it kind of helps exaggerate the image of thinking about how to control this and what we should be doing on all our projects. And the question that comes up all the time is change orders. How often, how common, how much, what do I really prepare for change orders? And part of the answer is how well do you prepare in the beginning for the project to really know and understand what you're up against? And of course, so my exaggerated example of what's going on is the Francis Howell School District and the high school that they are building, and they just got this like crazy ranking in a state audit, lowest possible ranking ever for their finances because of this high school that they're building, that they went through all these steps and they did this proposition to get money and to make sure things were ready. And they figured out that the building this high school should be slated to cost $86 million to build this. And now they're coming to the end, and it ended up at $164 million. So it's about $8 million from doubling the cost of. So they would have suspected they could have almost built two high schools for this amount. And so this big question comes up of like, what really, how does that even happen? And even on a smaller scale, I mean, imagine you were going to do a project that's $860 and it ends up being $1,600, or it's $8,000, ends up being $16,000, or it's $86,000, and it ends up being $164,000 in the end. That's just absolutely crazy to think about, but happens. It happens often. So on this whole school thing, that you got this board and all these people that are probably great educators. They're probably really good at what they do, but like most homeowners, they don't know a lot about building. So they didn't come up. I mean, they obviously had a lot of advice and a lot of quotes and bids and a lot of things going into this to figure out why they thought it should be $86 million. I'm sure they didn't just kind of go, well, that's what it should cost, right? We're just guessing. But it almost seems that way. And I see that a lot with what I'm doing, looking at projects and looking at all sorts of different repairs and projects for everybody. And when people like me, and I kind of ask the question sometimes, but I hope to be in a little more open way, it's like, what's your budget? Well, most homeowners have no idea what a remodel costs. They just literally have none, or all they have is past experience of, well, I remodeled my kitchen 10 years ago. That cost this, so I'm trying to figure out. And so these projects can really grow and really have a lot of issues if you don't prepare properly. So imagine like what we do here and what I do at Mosby Building Arts with this design build and really getting in super deep up front and in the beginning. Imagine me coming to this board going, well, we've done a really extensive study and we need $164 million to build this high school, and everyone else was at $86 million. And then in the end, the $86 million was my $164 million. And that's what we see all the time, is a very common occurrence, is you look at a project, you figure out everything that needs to happen, and you come up with what it takes to do it. And then you've got a comparison bid that doesn't have all that figured out, and it seems like much, much less, but when really not everything's in it. And that's the hard part, and that's what's hard. So when we look at the remodeling industry, change orders for just our industry, what I do, it's like 70-80% of projects nationwide experience change order, and it's mainly due to poor planning. If you take a more proactive approach, structured approach to preparing things in the beginning, you can avoid a lot of that. It's hard to get rid of everything. They are common, and there are things that you may uncover, and maybe even in that school, part of what they uncovered when they started digging, they said, oh gosh, there's something under here, and there was no way to know that. That makes sense. That's excusable. That's if I say I'm going to break out your concrete driveway, and I say in there, well, I'm assuming this concrete driveway is 4 inches thick, and then I show up and start breaking it out, and it's 12 inches thick, it's going to take more, cost more, it's going to take more time. That's a true unhidden thing that there's really no way to know, something like that. But there's a lot of things that you can figure out, plan for, and going through the right approach up front will get you there and will take you there. And that way, it's almost impossible to get rid of every possible change order, look into everything, but you can get rid of a lot of them, a high percentage of them, and you can bring that down where prepare for a possible 5% overage, not 20% or 30% like some people talk about. And that, too, is kind of a guess of what does it really take? Well, you really got to figure it out in the beginning, and that's what we work so hard and we strive so hard at and what I do every day. So, hey, had a great show, great questions, great topics. Get your New Year's resolutions together for your house and know what it is. I had a great time. Remember, be good to each other, be good to your homes. I'll talk to everybody next week.